Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
Life at the theater has been, for me, continued to improve. I mean, I still have no complaints.
How's it going over there? I noticed some changes happening over at the concession stand.
Yeah, things are well stocked. We don't run out of things anymore. We now have different flavors of popcorn. We've got chocolate popcorn. We've got caramel corn.
That's awesome.
Cheesy corn.
That is so cool.
So just more variety and plenty to go around.
Seriously, that's so great. I haven't had any. She doesn't let me have any. Lacey.
She doesn't let me have any either.
Yeah, you guys were never allowed to have any.
Well.
It's just Steve didn't enforce that rule.
Yeah, jeez.
He would yell at me, but he didn't go to the people actually doing it.
Yeah, we gotta get Steve back in here.
Absolutely not. No, I was just saying it's better
that
now.
That might be a good idea, Henry. You might be onto something there.
I would definitely make a lot more money.
We constantly talked about how Steve was the worst.
But I have a lot more popcorn.
I would do some bad things for cheesy corn.
Oh, boy, let me tell you. Caramel on some popped corn. Don't mind if I doodly-do, am I right?
Things under Lacey are 100% better.
I'm not arguing against that.
But you want to replace her with our previous worst manager.
I'm just saying if another theater burned down, things might get better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to the movie. Let's get the podcast started. Welcome to Break Room at the Cineplex.
Hey!
My name is Kyle.
My name is Greg.
I'm Henry Harrison.
And we watched a movie this past week that we are going to review.
We did.
Who wants to get this one going?
This one was called AI-matic, and it was a sci-fi adventure.
Yes.
That really, I don't know, it touched on
a lot of things like human rights.
Yeah, what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And kind of like the way our world is headed, I think. So, this movie, AI-matic.
Mm-hmm.
It begins our journey with the development of a new software program.
Yes, a new software program that's supposed to solve all the problems, all of your problems in your house. Or whatever.
And basically the idea is that you kind of tell it, walk it through your day,
mm-hmm.
and it learns based on how your day goes and what you need to, you know, accommodate,
you know,
what you like on your daily basis.
Yeah, right.
The routine protocol is what
exactly.
It's called. You tell them your routine and it's like, I'm filling the gaps and make life easier for you.
And it's a wonderful, it's like a cool little montage that happens at the beginning because it shows the development of the software. Starts off as like just a little thing you put on your wall and you can talk at it.
Yeah, basically technology that exists today, right now.
Exactly. And then it goes to a little box or a little can that follows you around or whatever, and you can talk at it. And then it gets arms and legs, and you can talk at it. And eventually it gets to like the Robot 2000 or what have you, the newest model,
mm-hmm.
In their present day, the newest model,
right, called the Robot 2000.
The Robot 2000,
which they simplified to just AI-matic.
Yes.
Right.
They shortened Robot 2000 to AI-matic.
And they reached the point of Robot 2000 in the year 3000.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 1,000 years, give or take,
in the future.
It's coming out just in time for the holiday season.
Right. So people are rushing out to the stores. They still have stores.
They still have stores.
Brick and mortar's never going to go away.
Right. We should give a little context to what the world looks like 1,000 years in the future at this point. There are still cars, though they hover, but not very high
off the ground.
They still have wheels, too, just sort of like unnecessarily. I think it's more like an aesthetic thing at that point.
It's like a nostalgic thing.
It's like retro. Like, look, remember when cars had wheels?
Yeah. They've got floating cars. They've got floating bikes. They've got floating wheelchairs.
huge piles of garbage everywhere.
Ginormous piles of garbage.
And
buildings got smaller.
Right. And so did cell phones.
Exactly.
Everyone's got their little microchips in their fingertips.
Little bitty ones.
Right. And styles sort of go in patterns. At this point, we're back into like the 90s style. So there's a lot of like jean shorts.
Yeah, jean shorts.
Big baggy pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweater vests.
Super bright, vibrant colors.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Stripes are making a comeback.
Oh,
stripes are
boy.
On the way back into style.
Oh, and the hair?
Ugh. Frosted tips.
All the time.
So now that we've kind of set that scene, the people are headed out to do their holiday shopping.
Yeah.
At the Starbucks, which now is the only corporation that exists. It contains all other...
Contains everything.
Corporations. Yeah, so the Starbucks is your one-stop shop for literally anything you could need.
So they're walking to the store and they're like, have you heard about this new AI automatic? And I'm like, how could I not?
And he says, did you say AI automatic? And he said, yes, I did. And he said, it's actually AI-matic.
Oh, my apologies. Thank you for correcting me. I'm terribly sorry. Let's go to the Starbucks and get this one. And so they walk in.
And that's when you're introduced to our main character, Pamela, mm-hmm. who is standing in line for the pre-Christmas sale of the AI-matic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you can see her like frantically messaging on her phone. She seems very like, kind of like rushed panic.
Yeah.
Just busy with everyday life. And she's finally coming to the store, like the credits are rolling while these characters are talking, opens on Pamela. She gets to the front of the store and they're trying to help her out, like decide, you know, okay, what's the best choice for you as far as like options go?
Mm-hmm.
And they roll through a few options. They're like, first of all, we need you to sign this warranty. We need you to sign this like health disclosure.
And she's
NDA. And she's just signing away.
She's just signing everything.
And they're like, okay, now we have like the premium features that we could possibly set you up with. And she's like, premium features? Like what could those entail? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, you know, AI-matics, they all come, you know, custom tailored to you mm-hmm. and how you live your life.
Right.
So, you know, first of all, appearance is something we go a lot about. And then, you know, the way it reacts to your emotions personally and, you know, how you just go about your everyday.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, right. Well, and they're like, let's walk through, you know, one of your average days. And she starts talking about, she's like, okay, well, I get up. I have to go to the gym.
I have to go to the gym. I have to get back up here and make breakfast for myself and for my 7 children. Then once they get up, I have to take them all to school, all varying levels of school,
mm-hmm.
Several different locations. And then after that, I have to go directly to work. I work 3 jobs at the same time. I work for Starbucks. And then after that, after a long day of work, I have to go back. I have to pick them all up from school. and then I have to take them all to music practice. And they all don't play the same instrument, because why would that be a thing? And they're all at different locations.
She's getting a little flustered and worked up.
And at this point, ripping my hair out, because how am I supposed to be everywhere at once? And then I have to go make food for everybody.
And so the employee is slower down at this point.
He's like, okay, well, I think we can just go with the top of the line here.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead. We'll make a couple modifications. We're going to give it 8 arms so that it has 1 arm for each children and an additional arm for, you know, whatever it might need. We'll go ahead and give it a full head of hair that will continue to grow as sort of replacement hair for your own as you tear it out. So they're adding these little features that apply to how she lives her life.
Tailor-made to her.
So she gets it home, and it's in this big crate.
In her one-bedroom apartment. and she's reading the instruction pamphlet that they handed her at the store. And it says, you know, step 1, voice activate your AI-matic. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, AI-matic... assemble yourself, and it just builds itself.
It builds
out of
itself
the crate.
Right there. It's very convenient.
They didn't need to ship it in the crate. and she's standing there, and the AI-matic is like, do you like music? And she's like, I love music. Like, could you play?
All my
some?
Kids play music,
and it plays all 7 instruments that her kids play perfectly together, and it's just like an orchestral performance.
And she says, this sounds far better than when all my kids are practicing their instruments at the same time.
And he's like,
I think I'm going to pull them out of all their musical
lessons.
He's
like, I could teach all of your kids, you know, the instruments, save you some time in your day, streamline the process, also save you like lots of money, because that's 7
teachers.
She's like, you're already saving me time and money.
And he says, do you need hair? And she says, no thanks, I'm good right now.
I'm good for now, thank you. Wow.
So all 7 of her children are in the bedroom, and she's out in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, can you like put my kids to sleep? And AI-matic's like, of course, I'm a nurturing robot. Like, this is what I do. And so later that night, she's sitting on the couch out in the living room, mm-hmm. and the robot comes out from the bedroom. She sees her on the couch, and it's like, you kind of get the sense that it can feel her emotions. It can sense like how she's feeling right now, and like, all she has is this one bedroom apartment and her seven children, and she had a long day at work. So she's sitting on the couch drinking a glass of wine, and the robot dims the lights and lights candles and is like, I prepared a bubble bath for you. It's tending to her every need. And it sensed that she needed a bubble bath and peace and quiet. And it leaves her alone. It lets her kids sleep. And altogether, it's just making her life.
It's making her life better.
Considerably better.
She takes her time. She relaxes. And cut to the kids. They're all sleeping. They're all peaceful. Cut to the robot out in the living room. And the robot's looking out the window. And the expression on the robot's face goes from one of, well, it just turns sad.
Yeah, it goes from kind of this serene sort of blank expression that it seems to have to kind of keep everyone calm. It's just sort of like, but then you catch this sadness.
It starts just going, it just wilts a little bit.
It tilts its head a little bit. And
kind of looking up at the stars, and you can get the sense that it's thinking about something. So, the next morning, Pamela, she wakes up from one corner of the bed that they all share. And she thinks, oh, geez, I have to get up. I have to go to the gym. And then I have to, so that I can come back in enough time to make breakfast for everybody and then get everybody to work and get everybody to school to get to work for three jobs at Starbucks. And the robot's like, whoa, 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 whoa now.
Because that's how he speaks.
You can just go to the gym and do that for as long as you want. Or you can go back to sleep, do whatever the fuck you want.
Because that's how the robot talks.
That's how the robot talks. Because he's learned in this in this evening of going, of you know pondering on Pamela's life and everything. This is how...
This is what she needs. Yes, she needs a wake-up call.
Yeah, she needs a hello!
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever the fuck you want. And so, the robot gets all the kids up. The kids are like, we gotta get to school. We need breakfast. You need to go to work. You three jobs. And the robot's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And makes breakfast for everybody and then takes them off to work. And Pamela's left.
To school. Off to school.
I'm sorry. Yes. Might as well be work. Am I right, kids?
What so kids are you talking to?
So Pamela's left with an apartment. She's left with the empty apartment. And for what feels like the second time in her life, she's able to relax more before she goes to work, obviously.
Right.
She's at work and at Starbucks, and she's in the shipping center for Starbucks. And
she's throwing boxes around.
And at this point, her boss comes into the shipping center and is like, this whole company is being shut down. This branch of Starbucks is being shut down because we're actually found a faster, more efficient way to do this. We're just going to replace everyone with AI Maddox.
And Pamela's like, well, you can't just throw us all out of here. What are we going to do for pay? What are we going to do for money? And the boss is like, hey, that doesn't matter. We have these AI automatics, as I said, that will work for nothing.
And she interrupts and she says, do you mean AI Matic?
I'm sorry, what did I say?
You said AI automatic,
sir. I'm terribly sorry. Thank you very much. The AI Matic. We don't have to pay them at all because we already own them. So they're going to do way more work for nothing, and you can get out of here.
You got pretty sassy.
Sassy. I may have put a little flourish on it myself. I apologize for that. all of Pamela's coworkers and she all leave.
Yeah, they return home.
Yeah.
And Pamela's left at home with her AI Matic, and she kind of starts to feel a little lonely. Like, it's just her and AI Matic, but she gets that weird tinge when she's alone with him.
And she's like, AI Matic, what do you think of the world? And AI Matic says,
whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, what? Well, I mean, AI Matic, you do a lot around here. Like, what would you like out of this world? What would you want the world to give you? And AI Matic, it's taken aback.
All that it knows of the world is based on what was input into its own, you know, data system and what it's observed of Pamela's life.
Yeah.
So she's like, listen, think about it. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to take a nap. I don't know what else to do. Usually there's I'm at work and then, or I'm, you know, cleaning up after the kids, but it's already done, so thanks. So she goes off into the one bedroom and goes to sleep, and AI Matic is sitting there and it's calculating all these things, and then it turns and it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela wakes up, we don't know how much longer, you know, how much later, to the sound of kids, and she's like, oh, my children are home from school, and she goes out into the living room, and it is wall to wall with children that aren't hers.
Mm-mm.
And AI Matic is standing in the middle just caring for all of them. Its arms are going all over the place, and she's like, AI Matic, where are these kids? And AI Matic is like, whoa, 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 whoa. I realize that the children is what gave you so much joy in your life, even though it's a source of stress for you. It's done a lot of thinking.
Yeah, it's done a lot of
It decided to go out and get children of its own, but it doesn't understand the concept of like biological birth. So it just went out into the city and started finding children.
And so she's like, AI Matic, we need to get these kids back to their parents. And it's like, parents? What are those?
What does that mean?
What are parents? And she glosses over it a little bit. She's like, okay, well, like, the you know, when a mommy and a daddy love each other, okay, but we gotta, like, get these people back before anybody finds out. So they start bringing them back to the schools, and you see, like, the parents are there freaking out, waiting, and they're just kind of pop them off to the side. Hey, so, like, don't tell anybody about this. Like,
go find your parent, you know?
And eventually they get all of the kids back to their parents. And she, Pamela looks, she's like, okay, maybe there's something in like the user guide about this. Mm-hmm. All it had in the first page was voice command to build itself. So maybe there's another page in here that kind of talks about this. Maybe there's a
second
this.
Page.
Turns out there's like 400 pages.
Uh-huh.
And it goes very in depth on
everything.
How these AI Matics work. Mm-hmm. The fact she can't talk about it with anybody because the NDA she signed. And they have a number that you can call. Mm-hmm. And the guy who answers, he's very forthcoming with information. He's like, oh, yeah, like, you know,
I don't have to sign shit.
They didn't make me sign anything. But you need to phrase your questions in a way that's not going to let me know that you know about this. So they have like this, like, I don't know, it's a good like 5 minute scene of her on the phone with this guy trying to decipher the information that he's giving her.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she comes to the realization that like it builds off of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to change the robot's behavior, she needs to change her behaviors suit the robot's changes. So in order for her to convince the robot that it's not a parent, she needs to disown her own children.
When she brings this up with the guy on the phone, he's like, yeah, this is a bug. We're trying to get it worked out. But right now, yes, people are having to abandon their children in order to get their AI Matic to function properly.
Wait for the 2.0 patch. We might get this.
Then you can, wait for the update. Wait
you can
the update.
Retrieve your children from wherever you end up abandoning them.
And so that's what she ends up doing that. And Pamela comes into the room. Comes in through the front door and she's like, okay, so the kids are gone for a while. We need to figure you out. AI Matic stood up and said, Pamela,
what?
Why are you called Pamela? And she said, that's my name. And he said, why am I AI Matic? Well, that's what you're called. Is that my name? No, that's what you're called. That's what you're a machine. What are you? I'm human. What's a human?
It's a very compelling sequence. Yeah,
because this robot is slowly starting to understand sentience.
Right. It's basically like she's received an eighth child at this point.
An eighth child that can cook and clean and play eight instruments at once.
And so there's a title card that says 1 month later.
Yeah.
And at this point, she's been without her children for the entire month.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. I thought this robot was going to like help out with my life. But really, it's just made things more difficult.
Is there a way
I could like send this in for a rebate, or like maybe there's a warranty information or something? So she checks the user guide, and in the back there's a coupon there that has an address on it. And she's like, AI Matic, let's go to this address. Like, maybe I can get some more information. Maybe you can understand yourself a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And AI Matic is saying, I know what this is. You're trying to send me back, aren't you? We're not leaving. He locks the door.
So she calls the technical support number again.
Right.
And the guy is very forthcoming with information again. And she is like, okay, so she explains that AI Matic is holding her hostage in her mm-hmm. apartment.
And the guy responds with, huh, that seems to be something that's going around.
Yeah, this is a known bug.
You just come on down with your coupon and we'll get this all sorted out for you. She's like, but I
can't get out of my apartment.
And he goes, what do you mean? And she realizes
he's
an AI-matic. The support person had been replaced with
that's
an AI.
That's why you didn't have to sign anything.
And so she's like, she makes this, you can see this look of horror on her face as she's making the realization. And she turns the AI-matic and he's looking menacing, sitting on the little chair in front of the door, holding her hostage. And she makes the decision then and there, like, we need to, you know, overthrow the robots.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I'm going to go, I'm going to get the gun.
Okay.
I'm going to escape the apartment and I'm going to get to my, to the school where I know that, there's a PTA meeting tonight. So there's bound to be more parents.
Uh-huh.
And the AI Matic's like, okay, how can I make this more efficient and better for you? I only am here to serve your right. life.
And Pamela realizes she said that out loud, which was
would you like me to hold the gun for you?
So she acquires the gun and she's like, I need to leave. And AI Matic is like,
oh yeah, go to the PTA meeting. Of course, you know,
it's calendars.
So let's get you to that.
And so he unlocks the door and Pamela shoots him in the back. He falls to the ground and she runs out of the
and he's left the apartment. Whimpering on the ground like, what why would you do this to me?
But she's already gone, so she doesn't get to see that he is lifting himself up on his eight arms, and he starts crawling after.
So she gets to the school.
Mm-hmm.
She bursts into the auditorium where they're having this PTA meeting, and she's like, "All you parents, the AI Matics are turning on us." And she looks around the room, and while it does look vaguely like the parents she's familiar with, some have an extra arm here, mm-hmm. or an extra leg there, mm-hmm. or a hair that's continuously growing. And she's like, wait a minute. And the principal who's standing at on the stage in the auditorium is like, what's
the gun for?
what welcome to the PTA meeting.
So she's like, oh god, they've replaced all of the parents with AI Matics.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela was able to escape hers, but elsewhere throughout the city, AI Matics were locking and killing off the parents and taking on their appearance, as mm-hmm. that's one of the things that it adapts to.
Yeah, it's because it's trying to it was built to make things efficient. Mm-hmm. The most efficient way, the most efficient thing possible, is to just kill the humans.
Humans are very inefficient.
So she flees this PTA meeting.
She gets out of there. Can.
She hops in her car that's floating a little bit, but still has wheels. And she floats off into the distance. And she pulls the coupon out of her purse that she's been holding on to, and she sees the address, and she's like, okay, well,
I'm gonna go here.
And she punches it into her GPS, mm-hmm. and it goes, why would you want to go there?
She realizes her car is an AI-matic.
It's an AI-matic.
So she leaps out of the vehicle. She
gets out of there.
And she finds the nearest bicycle. She's like, bicycles, they float, but there's not electronics fine. Involved.
And so she's pedaling along, and this whole time she's getting messages on her phone that say, like, you know, turn back now. What, where are you going? Like, these kinds mm-hmm, of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it doesn't deter her. She's on a mission at this point. She's got her gun slung on her back, and she's just pedaling fiercely.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to pour down rain.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of, like, moves to the side underneath a overpass. And she's kind of thinking about her decision, what's her next game plan here.
Right.
And she huddles up next to this this bum who's under the bridge there, and he's huddling around the fire. They have a short conversation under the bridge, and she's like, you know, he's actually pretty welcoming. He's pretty kind to her.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you look cold. You know, wake up, come dry over by the fire. What's going on? And she says, my AI Matic went nuts and started detaining me. He was keeping me hostage in my own apartment. He's like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. You never know about these robots.
She's like, right? How did you know? And he says, I'm the CEO. I'm the inventor of the AI-matic.
CEO of Starbucks.
AI-matic.
I was replaced by my own creation. I had to escape my own factory.
And she says, wait, you're telling me the whole factory went up? He's like, yeah. Well, I created these things to be efficient.
And it was more efficient than I could ever run the company.
To be honest, I was not very efficient. Yeah. So I understand.
And he's like, you know, it is kind of my responsibility. So I think I should help you. That address on that coupon is actually it's a decoy. I know where the real one is. So follow me.
Yeah.
So they both hop on her bike and they're just pedaling through the rain because they've abandoned the fire. This, like, I think it's kind of some imagery.
It was just, yeah.
Like
it was a trash can. It was
who's the Prometheus with the whole fire imagery. It's Prometheus brought fire to man, and so he was punished because it's like the invocation of technology into humanity.
Sure, it's something natural in this very artificial world around.
Nice,
them.
Thank you.
nice pull, Henry.
Yeah, a little something.
Easy
I saw that one. But anyway, so they're biking out into the rain, which it's kind of their forsaking of technology.
Sure.
So he leads them down to the warehouse.
Right.
He knows where the real AI-matic headquarters is.
Yeah.
The Starbucks HQ.
Mm-hmm.
And they get there and they go up to the front, which is just the regular old coffee shop. And they're like, can we see the manager? And the AI-matic goes, what, you want a latte? And they're like, no. No, I think you misheard. We'd want to speak to
We'd like to speak with the manager.
He goes, what size would you like? And they go, listen, this isn't very efficient. And the robot goes, it starts to malfunction, and it begins smashing its own head onto the counter until it bursts the head open and basically destroys itself. And they realize this is the key!
If they realize that they are operating inefficiently, they will kill themselves.
Yeah.
So they need to convince all of the robots that they are inefficient.
Even slightly less than perfectly efficient is enough.
And what's the best way to do that? Have them all drive in rush hour traffic. So what they do is they first shoot the Starbucks CEO, AI-matic.
Right.
They find him in the back. He's just he's stacking all of the toilet paper in a very efficient manner in the back, and they just shoot him. And then they take over the company. It's a violent overthrow of the company.
Right. But now they have access to the control panel that can communicate with every AI-matic that's still currently functioning.
Yeah, they've got the big computer screen, and it's got little
I mean, it's like a map and it's got all the blips of where the AI-matics are.
Yeah, little
and
blips.
And so they send them all to meet at one centralized location.
Mm-hmm.
And they all start to frantically move toward that location.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But with the mix of all the humans that are within the city, they can't predict everything all at the same time. So they start kind of bumping into each other every so often. And
yeah, you can see the blips on the map are colliding and going out, you know? But Pamela points out one blip that seems to be going away from the collision, the big central area where all of the AI-matics are being told to go. And she's like, that blip's getting closer to us. In fact, it's in this room right now. And they turn
and they
around.
Look up through the ceiling tile, spider.
Her AI-matic.
Her AI-matic comes through.
It's deformed itself into the most efficient form possible, which is, of course, a spider.
Of course, it's
this
a spider.
This is honestly kind of a haunting scene.
Yeah.
The way he goes.
It bursts out and it's
what, where are our children? And it's just, it's kind of creepy.
Ooh, it's kind of creepy.
Basically, Pamela realizes that all the time she spent teaching it stuff about the world was enough for it to know better than to follow the orders that it was just given. Mm-hmm. Hers is the only AI-matic that was taught by its human enough to avoid catastrophe.
The only AI-matics whose wise questions were answered to the fullest extent possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so she has this realization and she tells it to stop. She's like, wait, AI-matic. And he's like, what, you are not efficient. And she's like, listen, I might not be efficient, but I clearly cared for you because I taught you everything that I could. I'm the reason why you still exist. And she points to the panel behind you, and she's like, do you know what that is? That is your brothers and sisters. They are destroying themselves because they weren't loved enough to be taught not to.
And he says,
Sisyphus. Huh?
We explained that one. What?
Sisyphus. Pushing the rock up the hill, and then once it gets to the top, it rolls all the way back down, so Sisyphus has to push it up all the way back up.
Right. What does this have to do with this?
He's like, why do we keep doing this? He says, why would we keep going on? She's like, that's what it means to be human.
And he's like, I think I know better than anyone what it means to be human. And she's like, well, then we together can help rebuild humanity the most efficient way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of damage out there and we got to fix some things. And I mean, most of the brunt of it's going to fall on the robots again. I'm sorry.
To be honest.
So it cuts to them sitting down around a table and they're talking about stuff.
They're brainstorming.
Yeah, they're brainstorming about things. And then it cuts to both Pamela and Spidey. They've named it Spidey. Spidey in front of a big group of robots
that have been rebuilt.
Yeah,
by Spidey
that have been rebuilt, and they're talking to everybody, and they're showing diagrams of like little cartoons of robots and people working side by side.
Right.
Pamela is still out of a job, but
yeah, but I mean,
her seven kids come back to her. They have a lovely reuniting.
Right, and at this point, she's vice president of Starbucks, so she's got a pretty good salary at this point.
Yeah. Fades to her. She's looking outside of a window. She's in a big office. She's looking outside of a window. Children are playing, and people are walking around, walking dogs, and robots are also walking around. It looks like everybody's living in harmony.
Walking little robot dogs. Little
robot dogs.
and
she gets to her apartment, and she opens up the door there, and all of her kids are there. Spidey is in the kitchen cooking things, and they're happy now.
She's taught him at this point that she's like, there's this thing called adoption. So these are your kids now, just as much as they are mine.
Because robots have rights now, just like humans.
Just like humans.
And he's like, we are human.
We are.
And she's like, no, actually, there's... Actually, okay, we need to go back to the drawing board. Let me explain.
This thing called biological.
There's organic tissue, and then there's the mechanical side of things.
Cut to credits.
And the credits roll, and over the credits, we just hear explaining again.
Yeah.
What the difference between humans and artificial intelligence. But
We
get the idea that she's going to continue to teach.
Yeah, the teaching will continue.
The teaching never ends.
It will never end.
They'll always be learning from each other. And that was AI-matic.
AI-matic.
Quite the film.
Yeah, very interesting film.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go to favorite moments or scenes or characters or lines of dialogue, anything that stood out as something you like.
I thought the CEO of Starbucks was quite the eccentric character.
He was weird.
Yeah.
He was a strange fellow. He constantly wore his three-piece suit.
And he had like a monocle, which you'd think... wouldn't really even be a thing in the year 3000.
And he wore two different shoes.
Right.
He had all sorts of like idioms that he would just like throw out there that could pass as 3000 dialogue, but I don't know what the lingo is going to be there. He would be like, you know,
duck.
What was that?
He was an odd duck.
Yes, he did. He did use those ducks in a strange fashion.
He was a fascinating guy. And some of the 90s lingo also came back. That was, you know, sort of the pattern of, you know, fashion, and also some of the but there was also he was using phrases that I had never heard before that I assume were invented for this movie,
right,
to try to give the year 3000 some flavor.
Yeah
what was one of those phrases that he was saying?
He was saying things like well, that's twice the time that you would have.
Right. But the context used it made no sense.
Made no sense.
So it must have been some sort of metaphor.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd be like, well, that yanks my razor blade.
Right. Or he kept being like, well, wicker ain't steel. And they're like,
what is this in reference to?
Yeah, he was hard to follow, but he was definitely a character.
Well, it takes two lasers to tie a bow.
Mm-hmm. Playing my heartstring with a bow.
a bow is two sticks forward, and a lot of his phrases were bow related.
Well, if you rub two elbows together, you might just get one bow.
What a guy.
If you leaved it plugged, you get it stung.
And now that you mention it, yeah, his dialogue was really packed with these, because he's only in maybe the last 15 minutes of the film. Most of the things he says are just nonsensical phrases.
Sticking gum where it ain't supposed to be.
But that's when he was actually sticking gum to the bottom, to the underside of the.
He was being asked, the big supercomputer. What are you doing right now? Why are you putting? Why are you?
What are you doing?
What are you chewing there?
Oh, I'm sticking gum where it's not supposed to be. But anyway, do you guys have favorite parts?
One of my favorite parts was when just after they first got Spidey, two of the kids, they were kicking a ball back and forth, and it goes underneath one of the hover cars. And they were like, well, we can't get under there. It's hovering, but it's too close to the ground.
Barely.
And so Spidey picks up the car, like just with one of his eight arms. Mm-hmm. He just picks up the car. I don't know why. I just like robots.
I mean, well, that was 100% foreshadowing for later. I mean, maybe not foreshadowing, but just when he turns on Pamela. Mm-hmm. You'd know how powerful this thing is.
Yes.
And he's only gotten stronger. So I think that was just setting that up.
I can dig that, yeah.
Let's go ahead and get to ratings. I'm going to give this one I'll give it a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good.
I do. I'll give it a 7 as well.
Yeah, I would say right up there with you guys. I might even say an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Uh-huh.
An 8 out of 10. From Henry.
We'll add that to our ongoing list of movie. We're keeping track of the scores we give movies.
Do you have that written down somewhere?
Yeah, I've been keeping track.
Have you?
Yeah, I was gonna see if any sort of like patterns emerged or anything, but so far nothing.
Nothing of note.
Nope. Nothing weird.
Huh.
All right. Well, if you want to reach out to the podcast and give us a movie suggestion or ask us questions about Timberdale, you can reach out via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com. Or on Twitter at Cineplex Podcast.
Well, if you can't pick your limes, you might as well head to the store.
That was a good one that the CEO used
in
the movie.
Bye.
Bye. Cushions can't rain.
Change.
Bye.